Milan, 1488. Rue ducked around the corner of a high mausoleum, pressing his shoulders to the stone wall. Out of habit, he rested his hand on the knife he kept at his belt. Rue knew it would do no good to use it. It would make the man angry, perhaps slow him down a bit, but it wouldn't kill him. Garin had been Rue's squire. He'd taught Garin how to be a soldier. Rue had been like a father to him, and at times even a friend. But since Jeanne's death, they'd been enemies more often than friends. Rue believed that if all the sword pieces were collected, something great would occur. Garin was afraid that he and Rue would lose their immortality. The bastard would have dropped a piece of the sword in the ocean if Rue hadn't managed to grab it at the last minute. Such insolence. Rue wasn't about to let the bastard get in his way this time. He slammed into his larger and stronger pupil. Rue took an elbow to the ribcage. Garin wrapped an arm around Rue's neck, smashed the man's face into his knee, and shoved him to the ground. As Garin lunged for him, Rue kicked Garin in the jaw. The oaf stumbled away and crashed into a mausoleum. Both men struggled to their feet. Blood flew from lips and noses as the two men pummeled each other. Rue sat on Garin, grabbed his tunic, and smashed his head into the ground. Garin twisted a leg around Rue. The key he'd been holding flew out of his grip. Garin grabbed the key and rushed into the mausoleum. Rue rubbed at his jaw.
Guess he's learned a few new tricks without me.
His former protege seemed to be having difficulties within the old stone building.
How does this stupid thing work, Rue?
It's a key. You shove it in and turn it, idiot.
Rue propped up on an elbow and frowned. Was there no way to be rid of the man? Though best he was close to the prize when finally the safe was opened.
Get in here!
Patience! I'm an old man, and the bones are creaky.
You're agile, swift, and dangerous. I know that better than most. Now come help me before I get so angry I take down the whole place.
Rue stood and wandered into the mausoleum. Garin bled at the eye and the corner of his mouth. Good. He deserved it.
I imagine that, should you beat down the walls, the safe would remain standing. We'd be no closer to the prize. Or rather, I would be no closer. Why do you insist on thwarting my mission? It's nothing to do with you.
It's everything to do with me.
How so?
Garin paused and then gestured impatiently.
God, hand me the key.
Garin slapped the needed item into Rue's palm. In the darkness, he could barely make out the lock. Feeling blindly with his fingertips, he finally fitted the key into the small port.
I did that. Nothing happened.
It probably requires a strong turn.
Tried that too, old man.
So be quiet and let me concentrate.
Bending over the stone safe, he wriggled the key in the lock, feeling if it would give in one direction or the other. He pushed the key upward, and it moved. Downward, it slid as if on greased wheels. Then, at an angle to the left, and right. The safe door popped open. Garin sat up.
One of these days, old man.
Stand back and give me some light.
Garin complied, and moonlight beamed in and highlighted the opened safe. Inside the safe were two notebooks, a curious wooden box fitted with metal parts, gears, and arabesque designs, and a small silver chunk of steel that looked melted and warped. Rue grabbed the piece of steel and started to close the door. When he made to close the safe door, Garin's hand clamped over his.
What's that?
Lying before the box was also a small iron cross. It was in the style of the Lorraine cross Leonardo had once shown him.
I am not a thief.
You are, and you just proved it. I, on the other hand, will take whatever can fill my purse with coin. And what is that box? It looks like it's bejeweled. Let me in there, old...
How many times do I have to tell you?
After locking the safe, Rue carefully replaced the key in his purse, along with the steel. He stepped over Garin's sprawled body and hurried away down an aisle of tombstones. A quick stop into Da Vinci's studio to return the key, and then on to claim his horse. He would ride out of Milan before sunrise.
You have the laptop I bought for you?
Yes. What do you want me to look up?
I am not familiar with modern-day Milan. I can't recall where Leonardo's studio once stood.
You think that's where Scout is headed?
I do.
Give me a minute.
Anya tugged the laptop out of her backpack. It wasn't long before she had a Wi-Fi connection and typed in a search for Leonardo's address while he'd stayed in 15th century Milan. She thought it might be a good idea to check the location of Ludovico Sforza's castle, or else very close by. Anya skimmed through the search results.
Huh. Milan was devastated by plague for 3 years during Leonardo's era, and work on the dome of the cathedral was started.
Are you looking for a location or not?
Yeah, okay. All right, according to this bio, after Sforza's fall in 1499, Leonardo left the court for Mantua and Venice.
Anything about where he lived, specifically?
I'm not sure. There are no addresses that I can find, but give me a minute.
I never went inside the castle. His studio was not far from there. I remember a big white doorway opening to his studio. No stairs, slabs of marble against the walls, and canvases stretched on frames.
Anya spent another 10 minutes searching online, but to no avail.
Yes, I know he had his own studio in Milan.
She signed on to archaeology.net and posted a question in one of the forums on Renaissance art.
Ah, damn, nothing. There's gotta be... Hang on. I have an idea. Currently in Milan, and am looking for original site of Leonardo da Vinci's studio. Anyone know the location or the vicinity? Thanks. I've posted about the location on an archaeology site. I usually get replies within 24 hours. So what'd you have in mind? You think the device was transferred from the safe in the cemetery back to his studio?
It's only a guess. The music box could have been destroyed for all we know.
Well, certainly if there were items left behind in Leonardo's studio, they've been cataloged and recorded. Maybe I can find out once I get settled somewhere. I assume we're staying in Milan?
Until we figure things out, yes. Braden is likely staying here.
Rue pointed out the window. Anya hadn't realized he'd parked. The hotel was on the opposite side of the street. A liveried doorman helped a sophisticated-looking woman out of the back of a limo. A black SUV pulled away from the drive in front of the parked limo.
How do you know it's this hotel?
Scout just walked inside before that lady. I'm inclined to believe Braden will know we followed his lackey, and as you said, expect us to drop in on him. So, what do you say?
I'm in.
Excellent. You go first. I'll park the car. I believe the entrance to the lot is behind the hotel.
Sure.
Rue peeled away from the curb.
Jeez, Rue!
Anya spotted a new car, a sleek black sedan. Rue drove past the sedan, and that car stopped, made a U-turn, and followed him.
That old man has got to give up gambling.
Once inside the hotel, Anya looked around the lobby. No sign of Scout.
Excuse me, which way to the parking garage?